Welcome to Strength for Today's Pastor, conversations with current senior pastors and leaders which will strengthen and help you in your pastoral ministry. And now, here's your host, Bill Holdridge of Poimen Ministries.
Welcome to podcast number 90. Today I'm actually recording live here in Boise, Idaho, and I'm with Pastor Daryl Zachman of Calvary Chapel Treasure Valley. You know, I've made a lot of friends here in the Treasure Valley and a lot of pastoral friends and over the years by God's grace, and Daryl is one of those dear friends that we've gained our friendship together over the years. And so he's asked Poimen Ministries to come and do an assessment and also share at a ministry conference that they hosted at their church. So a little bit about Daryl before we get into the subject. By the way, the subject of today's podcast is the culture of a healthy church. Daryl and his wife Cindy were with Pastor Lewis Neely at Warehouse Christian Ministries in Sacramento. And Daryl, you actually were involved in the program Rock and Religion, working with Mary Neely.
Yeah.
In the development of that. That's pretty cool. Maybe you could talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
For many years. And then eventually in 1994, you launched out and by faith moved your family to Boise, Idaho, and started the church. And you've been going ever since. And it's a growing, vitalized fellowship of believers. So you started out as pioneers.
Yep.
That's common with a lot of the pastors in our family of churches. Welcome to the program. It's glad to be able to do this just face-to-face right here in the studio.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. It's an honor to be on your podcast.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Well, you know, I want to get to the main topic as quickly as we can, which is the culture of a healthy church. But first, I'd really like you to talk a little bit about your life and ministry because, you know, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to hear pastors talk about things like their calling and their ministry and what floats their boat and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So what's your passion in ministry, Daryl?
My passion is just to see people fall in love with the Lord and grow and use their gifts and, you know, basically know their calling. And that's what floats my boat, right? Okay, just seeing that happen.
Yeah.
Seeing them get well fed, and you know, it's a thing that Pastor Chuck would always say, you know, healthy sheep reproduce, but also to just love and feed the sheep.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've seen you in action enough to know that when someone gets it,
yeah,
when someone understands what the Spirit wants to do in their hearts, you get thrilled. It's like you're as thrilled as they are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I am for sure.
And that's another centered view. That's another centered approach to ministry rather than the people being objects or subjects of what your idea of the church vision or program is.
Yeah.
The people become the program.
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't think it's an accident who God brings you. You know, we know the Lord's the one that's building the church. And as you have shared, as you know, you did a ministry conference for us based in Acts, you know, that the Lord added to their numbers those who are being saved. So I just figure when the Lord adds to us who's being saved, He's added those particular people for a purpose that He has for that church. And so part of me is like sort of discovering what that is. It's like Michelangelo, you know, looking at the hunk of marble and seeing the angel within and bringing that out. To me, that's the joy of it, knowing that God is actually behind this whole process and He's brought people with specific gifts and calling for our church.
That's a great analogy, looking at the block of marble of Michelangelo. That's,
yeah, right.
That's a great picture, and it reminds me of Ephesians 2:10, of course. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that He's before ordained that we should walk in them. So you're seeing the people as God's work of art, and you're wanting them to discover, and you're going to help them do that as much as you can through the ministry of the Word and your love for them and listening to them, who they are.
Yeah, that's exactly right, yeah.
That's great. We refer to the kingdom of heaven being like a man who found treasure hidden in a field, and for joy over it, he went and sold all that he had in order that he might buy the field. And, of course, his goal was the treasure. The treasure is God's people.
Yeah, and you shared that at our conference. You shared it again on Sunday. The funny thing is we're going through Matthew, and I shared that same parable like, I don't know, a few weeks ago. But it's like every time, you know, you get to share with people that, hey, you're the treasure, you know, and Jesus gave, you know, sold everything to have you. And you can always see just their eyes light up. What, me? Who, me? You know, it's like it's just great to be able to share that good news.
Yeah, because the people don't perceive themselves as God's treasure.
Right.
Because maybe they haven't yet learned their identity in Christ.
Yeah.
And sometimes, frankly, we don't act much like treasure.
Right, yeah. It's pretty buried.
We act more like a tax sheep than we do works of art.
Right, yeah.
So, true. So that's where the pastor has to really rely on the Spirit of God for long-suffering and for patience and those kinds of things in our ministries, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, coming out of COVID, you know, it's been a challenge, right? Just we started meeting again in person with everybody together beginning September. Before that, we were meeting some of us inside, some of us outside. But that whole process of coming together and being able to see everybody, it, to me, is so important about really having your finger on the pulse of where everybody's at. And that's been, you know, difficult in this whole process, for sure.
Mm-hmm. But you're getting some of that back now.
Yeah.
How many of the, percentage-wise, do you think the people that have been part of Calvary Chapel Treasure Valley before COVID or have come back into live fellowship so far?
I'd say probably about 60% of where we were prior to, yeah.
Well, Sunday seemed like a real live group.
Yeah.
I recognize the absence of certain faces that I was used to from the past, but it was still alive and wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. So I wanted to ask you, switching gears a little bit, you asked us to come and do an assessment. So what kind of led up to that? What led you to want us to do an assessment and about what you wanted to have happen this past weekend?
Well, first off, just relationship-wise with you, Bill, I mean, you know, we got to know each other years ago. You did a men's retreat in Sun Valley, and I'd heard of you before then, but that was the first time I sort of met you face-to-face, and then meeting with you at the senior pastors' conferences in Murrieta and so forth. I mean, you've always just encouraged me as a pastor. And you got us involved in doing a school of ministry, gave us curriculum for that. And to me, it was very relational. You know, I just looked to somebody that I trust and who's also been, you know, around the block a few times with Calvary Chapel, had a lot of great experience, you know, pastoring Monterey for so many years. And so we just thought we're at a place right now where we really need somebody to just take a look at everything with objective eyes, you know, because, you know, we've been doing this now for 26 years since we moved here. Mm-hmm. And I mean, part of our culture is we've been mobile church. I mean, we had a facility that we leased for like 12 years, then we lost that. The last 10 years has been mobile church. We have an office, we have a meeting place there, we do midweek studies and things like that. But on Sundays, we're in a school gymnasium. And so that's been part of our culture, is understanding that the church isn't the building, it is the people. So I just thought, you know, when it came to assessing all this, we're getting ready to build. We have land, and we hope to develop this within the next couple of years. But we thought this is really a good time. Coming out of COVID, ministry looks differently, but we need to really be ready for the influx of people that I believe the Lord's going to bring. And add to all that, we have Greg Laurie coming in the spring for a harvest crusade here. So I just anticipate that's going to mean more people that need to be discipled. And I just wanted to get, you know, your eyes in all this and your wisdom.
Mm. Yeah, thanks. You know, I just, you know, a little bit of autobiographical comment here. I played baseball up through the first couple years of college, and I wasn't great. But when I coached, I was a really good coach. And I was able to produce better baseball players than I was as a coach. And I kind of feel like that way in what I do with Boyman. Yeah. You know, my view of myself as a pastor was, well, like one woman said to me one time, she said, you know, you're a really good Bible teacher, but you're not much of a pastor.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Well, the Lord used that to really help me search my heart. But anyway, thank you for that. I appreciate it. It's really been great to be here. It really has.
And you've got family.
We got family. My brothers. I got two brothers here, and I got a niece and two nieces, and a nephew, and their kids, and so it's great to see them too. And friends, you know, we lived here in the valley, so it's great to be back. So this is a key time in the development of the church, and for those that are listening, I mean, you probably have an idea about this, but Idaho is becoming a magnet state more and more. As people are leaving some of the nearby states like Washington and Oregon and California to come to a place that more fits their worldview and the kind of life they want to live. And so they're flooding to Idaho.
Yeah.
And then this valley has gotten even more crowded than it did when we moved from here 6 months ago to go to Texas. I mean, I can feel it.
Yeah.
So there will be more of an influx of people. And what people may not also know is that this is a heavily Mormon-saturated area. There are two Mormon temples here in the Treasure Valley, which is amazing, and numerous wards as well. So these people are being reached, and they need to be reached, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's another thing, you know, the whole thing of how do we reach them? And that's definitely been something that's on my heart. And I believe the Lord's opening doors with regard to ministering to people in the LDS church. And that's always been on my heart, I think, because my wife was a Jehovah's Witness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to see somebody that was part of our church in Sacramento reach out to her. And it's always just struck me. I felt almost a sense of obligation that, you know, there's people that are entrapped by false teaching that need to know the gospel of grace.
Mm-hmm. And when they hear it, when they understand it, and when the light gets turned on, they are so
awesome.
Like we were saying at the conference, you know, they got saved real good.
Yeah. I'll never forget, there was this woman who, she'd been part of the LDS church for like 40 years. And there was one, so she came and she just kept coming and coming and coming. Her daughter was part of our church. But then, you know, eventually she gave her heart to Christ, and I baptized her. And I'll never forget, it was shortly after that we're talking on the rapture of the church. And she comes up to me and she goes, "You mean that one day we're just going to be here and then we're going to suddenly be up in heaven?" And I said, "Yeah, that's it." She goes, "That's amazing." You know, she's like a kid, you know. It was so cool to just see that, because once they get it, they're just like, they're on it.
Oh, Lord, bring that. Yeah. Bring that anticipation to our hearts even now.
Yeah.
Right? I remember asking at the dinner table when my kids were small, I described the event of the rapture. And then I said, "So what is that called?" And my daughter, who was about 10 years old at that time, she said, "Cooperation." You know, we will all join together in the class.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Impressive.
Yeah, it was impressive. So with all the stuff that's going on right now, and, you know, of course, we had a wonderful weekend together and all those kinds of things, what do you sense the Holy Spirit's doing?
I think that he is, first off, giving people faith. I mean, I got to tell you, this. We had a prayer and healing service on Sunday that you and I did together. One of the things was we had our elders praying for people. We have had a woman who has needed a kidney and has been waiting like over a year on the waiting list. And she came forward for prayer. And one of our elders and my son, who's our assistant pastor, youth pastor, prayed, "Lord, you know, we pray that she will get a kidney this week." Okay? She got a call yesterday, Monday. and the kidneys is available. She's actually to have the surgery today in Salt Lake City. We're just hoping it all went through and all. But I mean, so to me, God, I think, is doing a thing of faith. And part of that, I think, is coming out of COVID. I think there's just a real need for people to believe in what God can do that's so much greater than what we're seeing in the culture right now at large.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was wonderful to see the people coming out that night because that, to me, was speaking that they were hungry and thirsty for something that they knew they needed. And so they were going to take the time.
Yeah.
And make the effort to be there, to either ask for healing or to be baptized with the Holy Spirit that had been mentioned.
Yeah.
They came.
They did.
And that's
a
big deal.
Probably more. It was surprising. More people came forward wanting to be filled with the Holy Spirit than even wanting healing, which I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, I did too. I thought that was very interesting. They were very hungry. And yeah. we don't receive, James tells us, because we don't ask. Mm. And sometimes people don't ask because they're not given opportunities in the way that the church, you know, formulates its weekly schedule or its monthly schedule to do it in a group environment where there are other people there. It's very encouraging and as an environment of faith.
Yeah. But I think, you know, to your credit, it's like, you know, you spent Friday night, Saturday doing this conference. You talked about these seven distinctives of the apostolic church, one of them being the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, your teaching on that was very clear, and you did it again on Sunday night. So I think people understood, mm-hmm. you know, they really understood why is it that we need this and what is it? You know, how is that different from what happens when we're born again and, mm-hmm. and all that? And I think just having the understanding mm-hmm. gives people then the faith to say, yeah, I want that. You bet. You mm-hmm. know, so...
Mm-hmm. I heard several people use the phrase, this is what the Holy Spirit was doing, as they described something that they knew took place.
Yeah.
I thought, that is so cool.
Yeah.
This is what the Holy Spirit was doing. So they're starting to get tuned in to the person of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Which is exactly what Jesus told his disciples they needed. You need to get tuned in to the person and work of the Holy Spirit, because I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And he's coming.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I really think that is a need. I know Pastor Chuck, I mean, made a huge impression upon me. And I think in his book, Living Water, where he said that he believed that one of the greatest needs in the church today was for the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And in the last few years of those pastors' conferences, he kept coming back to, you know, Galatians chapter 3, where it says, you know, having begun in the Spirit, are you going to be perfected by works of your flesh? And it just seemed like that was one of those things that was just continuously on his heart. And I see that ever more so right now. That's mm-hmm. just, it is the great need for the church right now. And I think that if the church really is filled with the Holy Spirit to the degree that God has made available to us by faith, I think this could be the greatest opportunity for the church that I've ever seen in my lifetime, even greater than the Jesus movement, as great as that was.
I completely agree with you and share that optimism. And I'm hearing the same kind of thing in speaking with pastors all over the country. This is unprecedented, these moments, these hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we need the Holy Spirit to do something about it.
Yeah, and we need to seize the day. I mean, just understand, it's by faith that the Lord makes available those blessings, and why wouldn't God want to do that? Of course he would. You know, I think he's just looking for people that'll just trust him and let him do the work through them.
2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to show himself strong Amen. In behalf of those whose hearts are truly his.
Yeah. So That floats my boat, okay?
Okay, the boat is now high in the water. I can see that. All right. Well, it's time to take a quick 20-second break. You're listening to a conversation with Pastor Daryl Zachman of Calvary Chapel Treasure Valley in Boise, Idaho, and we're talking about a healthy culture in the church. And we're going to be right back, so hang in there.
You've been listening to Strength for Today's Pastor. Appointment Ministries appreciates your participation and prayers. If you'd like to help financially support this podcast, you can go to our website at appointmentministries.com www.cornerstone.org/donate. Thank you.
Okay, we're back with Pastor Daryl Zachman of Calvary Chapel Treasure Valley, and our subject that we're now going to get to is the culture of a healthy church. So before we start the actual discussion, Daryl, culture, definition, yeah. Simple definition, let's just throw it out there, the characteristics of a group of people.
Okay.
And isn't it true, a culture can be a caustic culture, it could be a destructive culture, like a terrorist cell or organization, or it could be a culture that's safe and strengthening, like when you walk into the home of a very loving, tight-knit family, mm-hmm. you're sensing something there. It's a culture. It's a group of people that have certain characteristics,
yeah.
And they're made up of individuals. So I know when I was pastoring, and whenever I am pastoring a church, one of my secret desires is that this church become a church that I really love to attend.
Yeah, that's important since you're going to be there a lot.
Yeah, so I try to mold it in that direction as much yeah. as I, as a human being, have any say in the thing.
Yeah.
So how do you, as a pastor, as a man, in your years of experience as a pastor, how do you identify the traits of a healthy church culture?
Well, I don't think that I ever gave it a lot of thought in the sense of analytics, you know, but to me, I've always wanted to have a healthy family, okay? And so our family, my wife, our two kids, you know, we tried to create a healthy environment that was safe, where they would learn about Jesus, learn the word. We pray with them. We work through things from a biblical worldview, and always thinking that, you know, like if it's not working at home, why export it, kind of a deal, you know? Mm. It's got to be legit at home. And so I've always looked at the church as the extension of that. They're just like our extended family. And I thought that, okay, if we can create that kind of environment where people feel like this is a loving church family, this really is my brother and my sister in the Lord, and we experience that same sort of brotherly love, you know, legitimately, not feigned, but just real, by getting to know each other and caring about each other, then who wouldn't want to be part of that, you know, kind of a church? And then, of course, then if they're being fed the Word of God, which, you know, as a Calvary Chapel pastor, that's been the staple of what we've been taught, you know, just simply teach the Bible simply, you know, then they're going to be well fed and they're going to be well loved. And that's the kind of church I want to be part of, you mm-hmm. know? So that's, I would say, really in a nutshell, it's pretty simple, but that's been our culture.
Mm-hmm. So you really, in your mind and in your heart, you have an end game in your mind,
yeah.
And that is a loving, healthy family.
Yeah.
And that's what you want the church to be.
Absolutely.
So then that leads to things that are conscious and probably subconscious that you just naturally do that help produce that. And then people catch that because they're joining something that they want to be part of that sounds just like that.
Yeah,
they get it, they experience, and then they extend it out to people that they know.
Yeah,
it seems like that's what's happening at Calvary Chapel Treasure Valley.
Good, I'm glad that's what you see.
Well, that's what I feel, and that's what I see.
And you've had a chance to talk to many of our people.
I have,
just like a very relaxed sort of conversations, and just sort of, you know, like, what have you been asking them? Like, what's your passion, kind of thing?
Well, I ask them about their passion. I ask them what they understand about the vision of the church. Sometimes I'll ask them about what are the strengths of the church,
mm-hmm.
and then what are the weaknesses of the church. And frankly, they have a hard time identifying the weaknesses. But they say very similar things about the strengths of the church. They all refer to the love and the sense of family. They don't necessarily use the word family, but they all refer to that.
Yeah.
They refer to you and to your wife, Cindy, and just the genuine love that you have for the Lord and for them, and the way that they know you're depending on the Lord through prayer, and that allows them to trust you. They talk about that a lot. So I ask those kinds of questions. And just depending on who it is I'm speaking with, depending on what kind of a leader they are or what they're doing in leadership.
Yeah.
Like this morning in the meeting with your admin fellow, who is a retired colonel from the U.S. Army,
yeah.
I wanted to know how he recruited volunteers and what problems he was having, what struggles he was having in doing that. And we had a nice discussion about that, and he had some great conclusions, some great answers to some of the challenges. And that's what we called it. We didn't call it a problem. We called it a challenge. This is a challenge for the church.
Yeah.
And he got it. I mean, he has it in his head, you know, and it's wonderful. So asking those kinds of questions. And of course, the people that I'm speaking with in an assessment, I'm relying upon them to be my eyes for me, because you've asked me to come in to be another set of eyes on what's going on.
Right.
So how can I really know?
Yeah.
Unless I can see through the eyes of the people that have boots on the ground. And that's what I used that phrase with him. And he likes that, being a military guy, boots on the ground.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure he would. That and any three-letter acronym.
Yeah.
He'll be on board with.
Yeah.
But, you know, that to me is just, that's where it's at, is seeing people get it like that. And because I had done some interviews of our people at the same time, just our team leaders, you know, been talking to them. And one of the questions, and I really kind of got it from the questions that you'd given me about the church assessment, was like, what most interests you? You know, what most excites you? I think it was the question. What most excites you about ministry? And over and over again, the response that I've heard is, I love it when people get it.
Yeah.
It's like the light goes on, and wow, they're excited about what God's doing in their life, you know? And it's like the Bible study teachers, everybody, that's the thing that just, that floats their boat, right? Mm-hmm. It's just seeing people get it. And I think, you know, that is the joy of it. And I think, like, for Curtis, is the admin guy you were talking about, Colonel Curtis, we call him. You know, when he first started coming to our church, now he came out of an LDS background,
mm-hmm.
okay? And when he first started coming to our church, I just saw this. I am not an admin guy at all, okay? Mm-hmm. That is just not my gift set. And so we were doing this thing that we called it Rock the Halls. It was a youth outreach at Christmas time. Where he had a band and all this, and I realized I need somebody that can really, you know, do this justice in the way of an event planner. So I'll never forget, he shows up and he's got this big white pad that you write on, you know, it's like 3 foot by 2 foot or something, you know, and he's just like writing all these things out about, you know, okay, so we need these people to do this, and, you know, we need to strategically do this, and, you know, and it's, I'm just thinking, this guy is awesome. I just can't wait to see how God's going to, like, use these gifts. And that's exactly what's happened. It's just to see him develop those skills he already had, but now see how the Holy Spirit's using him. And you know, he does our worship in the park. We just did a thing with a number of churches that were involved with Greg Laurie's Harvest Crusade, and that got postponed because of COVID. But we did a thing called United Night of Worship out in Caldwell, downtown Caldwell, which is about 30 minutes away, and just because they had a great venue. And he did all of the planning and all of that for that. And just, you know, that's what I love to see. I love this. And there again, here's somebody that God brought with a special set of gifts. So trying to unpack, okay, what are your gifts? What are your callings? You know, how does that integrate with what God wants to do in this church? To me, that's what it's all about. And that, I think, helps create a healthy culture where, you know, other people can also come in and use their gifts in the same way.
Mm-hmm. So when a man like Curtis comes into the fellowship, or any other person for that matter,
yeah,
just kind of watching you in motion, a little bit over the years, your interest is in the person.
Yeah.
But you know that there's a treasure inside of them.
Exactly.
And so you're excited to open that present.
Yeah.
And that person can see, oh, look at what I've been given. And they may not have known it before. And then you discover it. And then you rely on the Holy Spirit to direct them in the way that they can fulfill whatever that plan is that the Lord has for them.
We get to do that. We get to help them make that connection. And the thing is, God's already put that in there.
Yeah.
You know, the call and giftings of God are irrevocable, right? Mm-hmm. So it's already there. But until they've been born again, they've really never come to know that potential.
Mm-hmm.
And now they get to discover that with the Holy Spirit, you know, and being connected with Christ and getting plugged into a healthy body that's going to support whatever their gift or calling is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think the thing I think that can interrupt that, right, is when people just get selfish, right? And, you know, they're not thinking in terms of what is God doing? What is the head doing? They're thinking in terms of, you know, well, what's in this for me? You know, or they get territorial or
mm-hmm.
whatever. And that can be the thing that obviously quenches the spirit.
Mm-hmm. But the approach in learning the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've used that approach. You haven't used it. That's who you are. But and then Cindy is that way as well, your wife.
Yeah.
And I know that other leaders within the church are that way too. But it really is something that anyone can do within a body. Anyone can find a new person and say, hey, I notice you're new here. I'd like to get to know you. That'd be awesome. Can we have coffee? Can I come to your place of work? Can we hang out a little bit? Can we meet in the park? Whatever. Right. And just sit down and don't do all the talking yourself as the leader, but let the other person do all the talking. Prepare questions if you need to. Just find out who they are. Let them talk.
Yeah. Two things that you've said since you've been up here was one, just in meeting with a number of different pastors and churches that you just feel like a lot of guys are just trying too hard.
Yeah.
They're just trying too hard. They're not just resting in the Lord and letting the Lord do it and use them. And I think that's one thing. And, I think that, you know, just the permission to just rest in the Lord and let the Lord do it is just great.
It is.
Know? Yeah.
It changes everything. I mean, then the people in the church who want the church to grow.
Yeah.
And sometimes they want the church to grow numerically. Sometimes they don't want it to grow numerically because they're happy with the size that it is. But they definitely want the church to grow spiritually and in terms of spiritual fruit. But if we can just pull back and watch what the Holy Spirit is doing and partner with Him and what He's doing in individual lives and help and discover that from what the Holy Spirit has done, it takes the pressure off. And people that come to the church feel the lack of pressure.
Yeah.
They can just be.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the second thing that you mentioned was that I think it was in one of the first assessments that you did where you just brought the people in and you just let them talk, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when they were done, just basically they did all the talking.
Yeah.
And then what did they say?
They said, "Pastor, it's been so great to get to know you."
Yeah. Right. So I mean, and that's, you talk about something anybody can do.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody
just
can do.
Just ask a few questions and let them get to talk about themselves and really listen.
Yeah.
Nobody does that.
And in doing that and in talking about what God has done in their hearts and lives over the years, they're actually witnessing to themselves. They're testifying to themselves of the faithfulness of God and they get excited.
Yeah.
And when they say to the person, like in my case, me, I was the one speaking with them, when they say, "It's been so great to get to know you," I thought about that. Why is this every single time the thing that they say at the end of our conversation, which is 90-95% them and 10% me?
Yeah.
And then my conclusion, and I think I'm right about this, is that when people know that or feel that their leader knows them, they feel that they know their leader.
Yeah.
Whether he be pastor or whether he be the overseer of a certain part of the church's ministry.
Yeah.
They just really feel that.
Yeah.
And so it's really up to the leader, and it's the privilege of the leader to work at getting to know the people.
And that's how hard is that really?
It's not.
My grandson can do that. I watch my grandson how quickly he'll make friends with somebody he's never met before. You know, and they're out like playing, doing everything out in the playground or whatever. It's just like, what happens between that age, he's 10, you know, and where we're at now as far as just getting to know people and really being interested in them as a person.
Right.
And from that, you know, so many other things happen just naturally. Mm-hmm. I remember years ago hearing Mother Teresa came to our country, and after assessing, you know, the United States and just the way people react and just their whole culture, our whole culture here, her words were really simple. She just said, know your neighbor.
Wow.
Just know your neighbor.
Wow.
You know, it's like, we're so isolated, you know, and I think in some ways COVID has not helped that, because
right.
It's like people are sort of hunkered down, you know, sheltered in their cocoon, but, you know, just knowing your neighbor and listening to them, like what you did,
yeah,
and people feel like they know you.
Yeah, about the return from COVID, we better pray that the people will allow the absence to make their heart grow fonder.
Yeah, right.
I miss being around people, and especially Christian people, my brothers and sisters. We want that hunger to be really, really profound.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I could tell you the first Sunday that we actually met at the gym again with everybody, you know, and I was just like, I was so giddy. Going to like church, I couldn't wait to like just be in fellowship again and see the faces. And you know, there's something, I mean, we've been doing the live stream, and that's definitely expanded through this process, but it ain't the same as
right.
being there in the flesh, you know,
right.
together in the Lord, for sure.
Yeah, something about having skin on that matters to us.
Yeah.
So the Lord's done a lot of great things, and the Spirit is working in Calvary Treasure Valley, and He's got, you know, plans for every church, of course. What are some of the elements, do you think, Daryl, that could either destroy or damage a healthy church culture?
Well, I sort of alluded to some of it. I think just when we start focusing on ourselves rather than the Lord and the body as a whole, for sure, that can. I think there has been some weird divisive things going on. I mean, I read a study where there's been, because of COVID and all that, there's been divisions over, like, do we even meet in person? So we got that whole thing going on. Then we have people, it's like, I think we talked about it. It's no longer the Hamlet question, to be or not to be. It's to mask or not to mask. That is the question.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's like, yeah. It's like, so do we really need to be divisive over these things? And I think you brought it out, in our conference. No, I mean, it's a Romans 14 issue, you know, just let each person be convinced in their own mind and love one another. And, you know, don't let these things, and we're right, of course, I don't know when this will be aired, but we're like right on the cusp of a big election and all. And so that's another thing that can enter in to bring division, mm-hmm. controversy, things mm-hmm. that we separate over that we don't need to be separating
mm-hmm.
over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're not kingdom issues.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're more preference issues than they are kingdom issues.
Yeah, and I mean, they're important issues, but they're not, compared to the kingdom of God.
No.
It pales. Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit has a tremendous place and role and a primary position in creating the culture of a healthy church.
Absolutely. Yeah. Huge.
Huge. The Holy Spirit, and He uses the Word of God,
yeah.
and He uses human beings to love others as an extension of Christ to one another.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, I shared with you recently, I talked to Pastor Lewis Neely and was just talking with him, hadn't talked to him for a while, and he was just like saying, you know, I was just reading this the other day in John 17, where it says that, I'm going to read it here, John 17, 22, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. And he was just like, Lewis was just like, isn't that great? It's like the Lord loves us just like he loves his son, you know, and that is was the Lord's purpose, is that would be the source of unity, but also that the world would know that God had sent his son into the world, you know.
Yeah.
And then he ends it, verse 26, and I have declared to them your name, and I will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them.
Mm.
So here you have the love of the Father for his son.
Mm.
That same love is directed toward us. That same love is in us, that we might be loving one another. And then as we're doing it, we have Christ in us as well. I mean, that to me says it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that does. Yeah. And the pastor who's trying to shepherd his flock coming back from COVID would be wise to teach the flock this and ask them the question, as you return back from COVID with your convictions, with your preferences, with your opinions on non-essential, essential, non-kingdom matters, are you going to be expressing the same love that Jesus has for your brother and sister? Or are you going to be withholding it because of your preferences?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Your choice.
Your choice.
So, you know, another thing about this discussion, Daryl, the culture of a healthy church,
yeah.
Who wouldn't want to be part of a family like this? I mean, this is glorious. It's wonderful. Families have conflicts, of course.
Sure.
But a healthy family knows how to resolve them amicably. An unhealthy family doesn't, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I heard, like, there was a study done of couples that had been married for many years, okay? And I don't know who did this study, but it's great study in the sense that they looked at these couples, and some of them remained married forever, you know, till death do they part. Others, it got divorced. And the thing is they noticed that it wasn't so much the fact that they didn't argue. Both sets argued. But the set, the couples that remained married, they argued, sometimes vehemently, but it was about the issues, you know? Whereas the ones that got divorced were arguing and blaming the other person. You know, it's you did this, it's your problem, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I think that conflict is very healthy. Where there's conflict, there's life, you know, but the conflict needs to be directed toward the issues and not against one another. I think that's, you talk about what can destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what can destroy
it.
When we start focusing, you know, and this is what Paul said, you know, if you bite and devour one another, you're going to consume one another.
Yeah, yeah, that's such a good point. Yeah, not only is the conflict being handled in an unhealthy way and being focused not on issues, but the conflict is just, there's never any motive or goal of resolve.
Yeah, right.
Which means that we're coming back into unity again.
Right,
And that's not the goal. So the goal is either winning the conflict or making the other person a loser in the conflict, or forcing the other person to yield in the conflict.
Yeah.
But if the goal of both parties is to resolve this conflict and come out at unity on the other side, it's going
to
happen.
And sometimes you have to just say, you know what, we need to agree to disagree.
Yeah.
Let's do it agreeably. I mean, there comes to those things, and that's okay too.
That's a resolution.
It is a resolution.
Yeah,
that's like a Romans 14 thing.
It is.
He never said you need to both come to agreement and believe the same thing on these things. He just said, accept one another.
Right.
Don't judge one another.
Right. That's great. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So again, back to the idea of coming into a family. We love this family. Who wouldn't want to be part of this family? So this puts a different perspective on the idea of church discipline. If somebody is unwilling to do the minimum of remaining an integral part of this body of believers, and has chosen to persevere or persist in some disqualifying sin, mm-hmm. then the church discipline process has to put that person out of the fellowship so that the Lord can deal with that person. And now they're outside of the bubble and outside of the protection and outside of the loving environment of this amazing family.
Yeah.
And it brings death to their souls. And that's part of God's divine discipline process.
Yeah. Right. Which is what you see in what? 1 Corinthians, right?
1 Corinthians 5, Just,
And that's so often practiced, isn't it, these days?
Boy. Yeah, no, boy, that's a whole nother podcast or five, you know.
For sure. But again, you know, carry it back to the family.
Yeah.
What do you do? It's like, as a father, you know, there are those moments I'd come home. My wife said, "You're not going to believe what your son did today." You know, and I'm just thinking,
"Your son,
yeah, your son." That's all he knows. You know that's the way it goes. Uh-huh. Right? My initial reaction is, it's the Bill Cosby thing, right? I brought you into this world; I'll take you out, kind of a thing. but then I thought, okay, so, you know. I would say, you just need to go into your room while I think this over and figure out what I'm going to do here. And so that's what I would do. I would just think, hey, Lord, how do I handle this? You know, but the time spent in the room was actually the greatest discipline of all, because the whole time, you know, like my son, you know, we'll just use him as an example here, is thinking, oh my, what's going to happen next? You know, what's he going to do? You know, but you think about that in the matter of church discipline. In a sense, what you're doing is, you know, you go and you say, okay, this is the problem. This is what the Bible says. This is what you've had to do. And until you're repentant, you know, you're basically going to have to be separated from this fellowship that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And it does. It brings death to the, you know, to the soul in a sense, but it's for the purpose of restoration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what we forget, I think, sometimes with church discipline is that church discipline is very closely connected with discipleship. It's the same root. It's a form of discipleship. Yeah. There's a boundary there around the way I live my life as a Christian. I can't just go off and do whatever I want, not regarding the body of Christ. Right. And if I do go outside of those boundaries that the Lord has given to me and to all of us, then the consequence is removal. And that's going to be discipline, which is intended to produce discipleship.
Yeah, yeah.
We want them back.
Absolutely, yeah.
We don't want them to still be out. We're looking forward to the day when there's a contrite heart, and when there's, and then, of course, we're willing to just embrace them and bring them back in. And
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to have this.
And that honestly shows love. And, I mean, you think about a child that never has the boundaries set.
Mm.
They're a miserable child.
Yes.
And then when they're crying out and screaming and trying to control the entire household, what they're really saying is, somebody stop me. You know, it's like, somebody care enough to stop me here. And that, to me, that's like, you know, I kind of think where David said, your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
Yeah, amen.
You know, there's a comfort in that people care enough about us to just not let us get away with it.
Yeah, yeah, amen. You know? Well said, well said. Well, Daryl, we're about to wrap up today's podcast, so we give 2 minutes to pastors that are as our guests to just share whatever is on their heart to encourage their fellow senior pastors and leaders in ministry.
Yeah.
And I know you got a lot on your heart, so you got 2 minutes, so I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say.
Okay, well, I think as far as a healthy church culture, number one, that's what the Lord is all about. And I think the amazing thing is that I think you saw the verse in my office that he counted me faithful, putting me into ministry. I mean, if God has called you as a pastor, a senior pastor, that's the amazing act of grace, where your concern is that God counted you faithful, put you into ministry. And if he did that, he also did it for a purpose. He has a heart, a vision. in mind for your community, for you as a pastor, for your church, the people that he's bringing to you, he's brought for a reason. So just discover what that is. Know that the Holy Spirit is there to be with you continuously. There's never a time he's not with you. And there's never a time where the problems at hand are greater than what he can handle. And I think the more that you just rest in that, and then get to know your people, just listen to them. That's really what you did when you came to do this assessment. And just, I know some of the people were kind of, oh, what's he going to ask me? And you just let him just talk, you know, and just get to know your people. And the Holy Spirit will start connecting the dots as far as, you know, this is why I brought this person to you at this time, you know. And it's that's the joy of it. So.
Excellent. So cool. It's really a blessing to have you share with us, Daryl. And so I'm going to give a little commercial for you. Daryl's teachings are available at calvarytv.org/our-media. So you could find it if you go to calvarytv.org.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to look it under the media tab. And so lots of great Bible studies and teachings, and the people that are in Daryl's church, that's the one thing that they mention, along with other things that they mention about how much they love the leadership of their senior pastor, is the way he's handling the word and in the pulpit. So you're in for a treat. And so again, thanks for your time and willingness to share with us, Daryl. It's been great. And for also inviting me to be part of your church family for the last week.
Yeah, it's been a great week, and we're just looking forward to what all this is going to mean in the future for our church. Amen. I appreciate it.
Amen, amen. So before we go, we always love your feedback regarding this episode, and we're always open to suggestions with regard to future podcast topics. So just email us at strongerpastors@gmail.com. And we have a website, poimanministries.com. You can learn about many of the ways that our team of pastors can help and encourage and strengthen you in your ministry. So from everyone here at Poimen Ministries, we pray for God's grace and blessing to be upon you in Jesus' name. So long until next week.
Strength for Today's Pastor is sponsored by Poimen Ministries. You can find us at poimanministries.com. That's spelled P-O-I-M-E-N, ministries.com. If something in today's program prompts a question or comment, or if you have a topic idea for a future episode, just shoot us an email at strongerpastors@gmail.com. That's strongerpastors@gmail.com. May the Lord bless you as you serve Him, His pastors, and His church.